That's right, interrupting the current corona cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTW RLM 369. Should be really, really special, I suppose, for those of you 369ers. We'll see. Something's gonna give here, folks, if it's the people that already haven't capitulated. We still got something to do and some work to be. Yeah, that's the point. It's the work. And there's really, I don't know what to say. There's just no excuse. There's just so many. I told you this years ago, target-rich environment. What else do I say? And now they got you in your little pods in your home, and most of you realize that, but you don't really know what to do about that, which I find pretty fascinating. And again, like more research we do, and the more research I do, for sure, the research that I do, the contribution that I bring to those that I work with, no matter where I look, the thing that has been locking everybody down is completely defeatable. Completely. So, something to also as we go through, it's just a matter of getting it working out, but there's always impediments. And last week, to show you the arbitrary and capriciousness of the platform YouTube, one of my syndicators here, Sound Minds, over at YouTube, and I'm not sure if they're doing it today or if they're going to do a video broadcast tomorrow with this broadcast attached, pointing out the documents on the video that I will talk about today. I think that's what the email said here. But anyway, it doesn't. If Sound Mind is on now, thank you there for there. But last week, Sound Minds was hit by a YouTube complaint to knock the last broadcast out of their list. Again, it was just for violating community policies with no specificity. So apparently we got the ire of some parasitic conspirator, and that is what triggered the request and pull down, because it wasn't pulled down anywhere else. And so this is showing you that there's agents out there, and this is how close you are to having your stuff pulled. Simply one complaint, apparently. And then they get to come back, and I don't really know much about it. I don't even get on the YouTube more than people put me there. And so I don't really interact with it at all. That apparently a simple complaint can violate a policy. So my thought on all this has been, and I've said it before, even though I don't get too involved, those of you that have this problem, for me, I just would like to know what it was that was said. So maybe you can listen back, remember from last week, and maybe send me an email, markonthebeast@protonmail.com, to find out what did you think I said that would offend a community policy rule, given that I'm only citing the law and the rules and how to get stuff taken care of that are against us, and showing we have a potential, we can move a platform forward that's actually committing things like sedition in the way they interact, but more importantly to the contract, because there is this position, well, we can say they're a private organization. I still have a discussion, well, they're using the public way, the public utility lines, that's for the people, and they're engaging in political forums and political abilities, which is important for the people, that when they start to cut information out, that now they're interfering with the work of the people. And in particular, for Behind the Woodshed, to be countering the bad propaganda, which Congress mandates that we do. And so I'll agree with that, and that's what we do. I changed, if you looked at my blogcaster, I put that right on the front top of the page. So how YouTube would justify cutting anything of the content of this when that's the intent is really a question in my mind. But to begin with, that they're not really the violation, which we probably think that they would be. But getting back to the private property nature of what they do on YouTube, it is their private platform. I'm not so sure that's the truth either, where they do have a contract. And I loosely put this into like a tenant contract. Even if you get thrown out once a month, there has to be violations that are named. There has to be justification, not just the generic statement. And so what I would offer, and I've said this before, those of you that are on YouTube and have these problems, maybe you should start pressing the unconscionability of a policy that gives no actual reason. And unconscionability is actually actionable. And so what you end up forcing is, it's okay that you may not like what I'm doing, but you got to give me a specific reason. And here's the problem. If I don't have a specific reason, not only do I get dinged for it, not me, but you guys that are doing the YouTube, but we also don't know how to clear up what the problem may have been. And so that's the, how do I avoid what I'm telling people? If I can say something a different way, if someone didn't like that I said, you grab them by the throat, and my mind is saying, my intention is to, my picture in my mind was my pit bull that I used to have a long time ago, what he would do to a snake, a dangerous snake. That was in my mind when I was telling you that. Did someone feel that was, oh, some kind of violent? That needs to be worked out. And so if that's what's causing the problem, we got some thin-skinned people that are got their button, their checkoff button ready to push, these bots that are out there that are too insensitive and too inexperienced in the world to have an opinion that need to be figured out. And so how low do you bring the sensitivity level when you're talking about grown-up things is an interest. So I don't want to waste too much more time. Sound Minds does not have that broadcast now because it was knocked down. It's not been taken anywhere else. And those of you that syndicate my broadcast, heads up. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it degenerated, but that's what was going on. So I'm thinking unconscionability, even on the contract of a private contract, more like a tenant-landlord type thing, you can probably maybe kick somebody out, but you better have a good reason. And that's delineated by that policy that the landlord created. And unconscionability can eliminate that provision if you can know what that is. So that would require that you go ahead and research a little bit about that and then maybe push that, try to force the position to get at least an answer so that you can protect yourself against, because if I start talking violative of their policies, I don't want your channel to go away, but I'm not going to stop talking. And I know you're not going to stop not syndicating it. So at that some point, we're running down a headlong to an end, a quick end, and they're not giving you any guideline and any guidance. And I think that's unconscionable. And so we may have an ability to ameliorate some of the problem or not. It may come to the time when we don't. At any rate. So also something that annoyed me last night, and really, I guess this is really, really annoying me anymore, and it's just hits the heart of what I do. Someone posted a statement, which I get the whole point. You know, it's not like I'm insensitive to the point. But on the surface, it makes a lot of sense. But when you're looking at the seriousness of what's going on, and no, I can't make a joke out of all this yet. I can't get beyond. It's not humorous. All the humor that I seek isn't really humorous, and so it's not humorous to me. There's some fundamental failures going on, and really the fingers are pointing at the people to stop them at every point. That people are getting harmed, people are dying. Families are being destroyed across the world now. It's across the world. The insertions of authorities that never ought to have been insertions in anywhere are just being put on steroids. The people apparently seem completely devoid of how to actually deal with any of it. I don't think that I'm wrong in what I've been telling you, and I'm going to show you how that, I think my suggestion there is pretty accurate. That I've been suggesting to you at least the starting of what you need to start, how you start thinking about this and how to push back. If people would just start doing that much, I think this would be a really big deal. But someone posted a statement, and I got the statement. I understand the basics of it. And on the surface, it makes fine sense. It's a rhetorical question. I get it. The problem is the question hits solely and directly upon each one of us. And the statement in a question was, what was that land of the free bit again? And I don't know if it's an offense. I don't know what I take. Again, the adjectives, I lose it. I don't know what I feel about that. The land of the free bit again was the republic if you could keep it. And so that was on us. And so even though I get the point, the rhetoricalness of this, I didn't fully appreciate that. Where, when I'm talking about this guy who posted it, is also tells us, he's a well-known character on RT, which I find interesting. They have these kind of guys on RT that do this. He's also told us he's an attorney. He was, in particular, a prosecuting attorney. And he's essentially, because of the bar connection, the best, the attorneys in this country of the United States of America and around the globe, the rule of law and democracy, as we are told, the rule of law is sitting there. The lawyers, if you will, the attorneys are silent on this. They are the best positioned in order to advance certain things, and I mean ahead of time, not after waiting, people watching people get destroyed. And so this hits me a little bit different in the follow-through, I guess, for me. And I think it sends the wrong message to leave these kinds of... these. To me, this is a serious thing, this condition that's left to go, to ask the question, what was about the free bit again, in the land of the free? Well, it's one thing to acknowledge it's the land of the fee, home of the slave. It's quite another thing to ask the question and not do anything, not lift a finger in order to try and restore something. And so the attorneys are really more the best place in the attorney system. And I make my response to that. So he says, what was that land of the free bit again? And my response to that was, it went the way of an ignorant people, derelict of law and remedy against demonstrably invalid executive orders. I'm pausing here, folks. Demonstrably invalid executive orders. And this is where I don't get it. The judges and the attorneys and their system are the judicial branch in this constitutional republic that we're supposed to check that. So let me go back and reread that, because that's one of the main problems here that this guy was trained into, that's asking this question, which is almost like a slap in the face. It reminds me of almost as if what I perceive from Franklin saying to the woman on the steps, you have a republic if you can keep it. Those attorneys, those ends of court people, the plenipotentiaries that were doing double dealing with England, set it up to fail. And they were telling you that. But this group has been with us for a long time. It's almost like a slap in the face to hear this. Anyway, let me go back and read it completely. They have an inherent power within the judicial branch of the established government to check the excesses of the executive, and nobody is stepping up. My answer to that question was, it went the way of the ignorant people, derelict of law and remedy against demonstrably invalid executive orders, or maybe even whom thought attorneys or their cloistered court system would defend the republic against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Then I ask, what was your excuse? This is being asked of someone who said he was a prosecuting attorney. He was a bar member. He was prosecuting people in the land of the free, home of the brave. Now he wants to know about what was this land of the free bit again. He's in the position to be able to be a vanguard of defense against this thing. And all I hear is this rhetorical question. Is not how we're going to solve this, folks. It's not listening to these people. This is the same guy. I don't even want to give his name. I don't want to make it a personal thing. This is a condition. This is what comes out of these people. This is what's promoted to us. And this is what we use. This is the people that we supposedly look to in order to save us. Instead of stepping up, even in error, to correct a right that we see is wrong, and the right is righteous. As I've been trying to explain, using the model of the Virginia Constitution, it's nice, cut, and clear. Do we have a thing to do? So I felt this was a lot of an insult. What about with this land of the free bit again? Coming from someone that's particularly positioned to understand that cloistered bar association system, for those of you weak-eared, to stop it. And why haven't you heard the attorneys roaring over this? Where was the defense against the enemies, foreign and domestic, in their cloistered court system? And you think I'm just joking around or opinionated? No, the Bar Association is an actual agency in most of your states, if not all of them. Think about that public-private partnership that's also an agency of the government. That also makes a judicial branch if you don't think this place has been changed. And I'm telling you what the answer is, why we get this slap in the face and why they haven't stepped up. And to say again, this is on you and me. And what is also on you and me, and how we keep moving this thing, and I keep saying is that we have the numbers, and I would rather go non-violently at all costs, so that we can, again, I think if we resort to the violence, we're no different than what we started with. And so my view is we get more educated as a populace, more intelligent. Don't get so smart. Get intelligent and then get properly into how we execute our intelligence and our knowledge. Knowledge is not power. It's the proper execution of that knowledge that can become powerful. For myself, I think I'm giving you the power. If no one wants to pick it up, then it doesn't get the rubber. That rubber doesn't meet the road, and so it really isn't so much. But it's power doing nothing. And so this is the big disconnect. We can't have someone else do these things. No one's going to free you from your home except for you. Now, okay, before I get to that, something came up. I want to go through this quickly. It's just a notice to you, those of you that are interested. But one of the things, and I was going to talk about consequences a little bit later, but I got to touch this because I don't know anything about it. I just want you to know it. I'm going to move from here. Those of you that are interested in the biodiversity treaty being used to harm you, those of you that are interested in how they're utilizing foreign law and positions on you through the United States government and through that biodiversity treaty, there is a notice of public teleconference concerning the use of digital sequence information of genetic resources that's on a Federal Register. I'll give you the links after in the blogcaster if you're interested. This was way too fast for me to assimilate since I got it last night off of Minds. And if you're listening to that, thank you over there. Thanks for that. It's a notice for you to participate and listen at least. If you listen and register, and now I know there's a big deal about registering maybe, you cannot send anything in that I understand in mail unless you listen. And this is another problem. But for those of you that don't care, some of you don't care about that, and that's fine. That's great. But you register to get on the call, then you can put your comment in. So you can listen to the phone call and the interaction, and then you can understand what the problem is. I put in a link also for this. You only have a few days now. It's only coming in a couple days to have that conference. It's in lieu of having a public hearing. So this is where you're also seeing they're changing your government a bit here. But it's about the Convention on Biological Diversity. I've given you a quick wiki article quickly look at it. You'll have to do a little bit more understanding, particularly to this summary and what they're trying to do. This is quite a work. You'll really have to bore down. If you've got time during quarantine, you probably can do it in a few days to bone up for the conference, at least to listen, and then you'll have time to write a comment. It's based also, and they name this specifically, the Nagoya Protocol, and that is on access to genetic resource and fair and equitable sharing of benefits arising from your utilization to the Convention of Biodiversity, also known as the Nagoya Protocol on Access and Benefit Sharing, ABS, is a 2010 supplemental agreement in the 1992 Convention on Biodiversity, CBD. You'll hear the CBD mentioned. It's a Convention on Biological Diversity. Now, let me get down a little ways, but I don't want to read too much. You need to read this, see the black and white so you understand. I have a very basic view about what all this does. We talk about it periodically. And this is where the genetic engineering is also allowed in the biodiversity treaties I've explained. But let me get down to where the however provision here in the first paragraph. However, there are concerns that the added bureaucracy, and they're talking about this Nagoya Protocol. However, there are concerns that the added bureaucracy and legislation will overall be damaging to the monitoring and collection of biodiversity, to conservation, to the international response to infectious diseases, and to research. That definitely caught my attention when I noticed it was about infectious diseases. And then you understand about the genetic engineering that's allowed in the 1992 Biodiversity Convention, not a treaty, excuse me. You got to keep these things straight. This is where you start learning about the language and keep it straight. Whatever mistake I ever say, please fix my mistake in words. It's just going too fast in my mind. I sometimes misspeak. I notice I'm doing that more as I go, like time. I'll be talking next week, I say next year. Next hour, I'll take last month. It's just a thing I'm noticing. I'm starting to the information. There's just so much information going through my mind. My mouth doesn't really keep up. But anyway, so fix those minor details that way. And if you, but here we have directly, I'm reading, it talked in response to infectious disease. I really didn't know where to place this, but I saw that relative to this coronavirus bogus that's hit the globe and the agenda. And I told you all about that this was going to be the furthering of the war of terror against you that was started 9/11 and the trauma basing. And they were going to go to the military industrial and the medical martial law, because that's the worst that our society could face. It's not impossible, but it's the worst. It requires the most stringent understanding and applications to return it. When I looked at that, I thought this has to be grabbed by some people, and that you have to start jumping in and understand not your opinions on it. You have to understand the condition and what it's for and have the understanding when you see that and you see relative to the globalist imposition of this. This is the mechanism that they're using to go in and get now an expansion on that data and share this data about, ultimately about you, about your genes and the genes of other organisms and their gene modification. This becomes a real serious problem. And I was really glad a couple of my listeners are, I think they're my listeners, on Twitter, Lex Logos responded exactly with my thoughts and why I even want to tell you about this. This is the international, this is the United, you're responding to the United States government that they tell you that this will inform their policy. You have to think about how, what you're going to say relative to that, and then you have to kind of do the, you have to do the things I've been telling you on how to circumvent their authority to be able to do these things. It takes a couple of steps of thought and application. This is not just about what you know, certainly not about what you think you know. And so we really have to really get tight on what this is required. It requires a different thought process. I tell you that from experience, because when I've written comments to these things, when you really get understanding how they respond, you have to address how they'll respond to you if they have an agenda. You have to circumvent that agenda before you get there without talking about the agenda. Okay, there's a real dynamic. It's a real gameplay going on within all this. Because the due process they give you administrative side is setting up the record that they're going to use to move forward on their policy. Not law here. And so the convention's not law either, but it's what they're following. So Lex Logos makes a comment today, and I want to read it because it's about as concise as what my thoughts are. Why, when I saw infectious disease, this is what they were doing. And there's more. There's more that my mind said, but this is good enough for right now. Hopefully this will inspire some people to step into this and really start to address it as best you can. He says, is this related to testing for a cold virus? Database plus R&D. As Patrick Jay would say, they need to see how they are impacting genome and corrupting the blood efficiently. You can't genocide people like this and not help have feedback loops. COVID, 1984, vax genocide, and caucusocracy. That, in a nutshell, was really what blew through my mind. It was really the feedback loop in how this would be and how they share this information globally. Remember, these are all going to weapons labs as well. These are all going to the big corporate partners and the public-private partnership. You see them calling corrupting the blood. They're going to do a bill of attainder against you, a contrary. You could look at it in that regard. It would take a delicate approach to be able to lay the facts out without calling it out, because if you call it out too directly, they'll just dismiss you. But this was the thing about, remember, SMART, S-M-A-R-T, they do monitoring. This is the SMART system being put in place. And the United States government is up with this, so don't underestimate all your logic and all your reasons going to be thrown down and disregarded because they don't want to hear it. And that's why you have to write it in order that they can't disregard it. So you could actually build into the policy, if you had a mind, to bring forward this idea that they could use this to corrupt blood and bring it back, and you go through and you realize how vaccines that they would do this are doing that because of the human diploid cells in these and other things that are in there, that then you can now move this thing through that you inform the United States government it cannot agree to these because the products would be the corruption of the blood that's forbidden by the Constitution. As one line of thought is, I'm just talking off the top of my head here and trying to help you, those of you that might realize the importance of what it looks like they're doing here through these international conventions relative to the future and watching what they've done with this common cold that has flu-like symptoms, but there is no test. Now, I see people just not understanding this, I don't think. The CDC says there is no test. Take that to the bank. Look around. There's no test. Now, if you have no test, how are you going to get a cause? And if you go look at your communicable disease definition in your state, you'll likely find there's a two-step of elements. You have to have a disease, and then you have to have an infectious agent or a transmissible agent. It's not just calling it COVID. You almost have to give them the COVID. That's what the label they put on the symptoms, the disease. Now that goes comma, and then they say you have to have an infectious agent. What is that? Where's the test? There isn't one. You can't have a communicable disease. If you don't have a communicable disease, how do you have an emergency? It's pretty simple to get at if anybody would just step up and defend themselves with that part, as I was suggesting that you do, and some lady got picked up about this, and we get to that in a little bit, showing you what I've been saying is how it works, and then showing you even a deception within the news here. It happened right after the broadcast. But thank you, Lex, on pointing that out. That was really the nutshell of my ideas when I saw that this Nagoya Protocol addresses the sharing of this infectious disease nonsense that we want. We already know it gets shared. There's something loose about this that they're going to tighten up and justify more, and I think it has to do with how they're going to go commercially with it across the globe. Remember, the WHO is just the brokers of corporate pharma, and yes, there's this element. When you look into this deep enough, there's a genocide condition on it. There is an identification to racing and races, and there's an implementation. And again, remember that you don't know whether or not you're ever going to be the chosen few. And so you don't know that you're going to survive if you think you want to agree that this is a good idea. Anyway, going on, also the technology is now coming on us. They're trying to make that technology shareable to do these outcomes that they want, whatever their agenda is on the global level, move it in through the system of the United States, the infrastructure. They say, if you look carefully at that protocol, it also looks for funding. They're always looking for the funding to pay for their capacity building. And I'm going to tell you, the United States of America has capacity built up to its eyeballs, and we're drowning in it, and no one sees it. Moving over now to this technology is now getting slapped down a little bit, where we see this is a very interesting thing. What I got out of it was really another admonition to y'all. It says, U.S. Patent Office rules that artificial intelligence cannot be a legal inventor. And then the subtext is, only natural persons need apply. I'm not going to touch the oxymoron called natural person or the specialty called a natural person. I want to go down in the article, and I want to find the down near the bottom where it talks about the inventor said, well, we didn't want the AI to be the owner, just recognized for its contribution as an inventor. And the patent office said, well, you got to be this natural person thing, he or him or whatever. And I find that interesting because, again, legal is not, person is sexually neutral. There's no gender. And so we have a little bit of hitching the giddy up. I wanted to point out, this was advanced by a group of, inventors, I would suppose, companies, to test the law. And I looked at that and said, well, if inventors, they're not even caring about COVID. If they're going to try and do this to press and test, this is like getting on the back of the bus and then getting arrested for sitting up in the front. They're just testing the law without a basis. Where are all you all? My admonition is, where are all you all when you have the basis and aren't testing it? These technocrats are testing it. Why aren't you testing your own system? Even to make the record, it's a fraud. I mean, that's the other thing. People don't believe how bad it really is, and you think that that's enough that you know. It isn't enough. And this COVID nonsense gives us the perfect opportunity, really, to expose that and really start to bring what we need. Now, so they're pressing this idea that the AI, pattern recognition computers, can be an inventor. And as I thought about that, I don't even know if that was even a valid approach. All these invalid approaches to try and make something, make a precedent. When you look in a patent or a study, they tell you there was a method by which they came to their process. That's where the tool of the artificial intelligence were to be placed. It doesn't need to be an inventor. It's a tool that was used, and you name all the people that were contributing and using that tool, or that many people did. So they admit they weren't, they were just trying to test the waters here. I'm asking you, well, you have every right, every antecedent before the government establishment. How come I hear crickets in the world, and why do I see people dying and getting hurt and economically destroyed and nations going down? At least, that's what I hear. I still, all these months, I look around, I don't even see it. I don't even know. Talk about antisocial, boy. I just don't see the change. You know, if it wasn't for I see it in the on the internet, I wouldn't notice that it was going on, not around me. At any rate, going back to it. So they're testing the waters for things that are not even plausible. Why aren't the people of the United States of America, at least, that land of the free with the obligation to maintain and keep the republic, why aren't they testing the waters, even testing the waters of the rights that they have established in themselves? Whether or not to show that the system that's the cloistered judicial system that's sitting there is actually the foreigner in the gates that's destroying this republic, or force them to start doing the law. And I've given you techniques on how that would all work and without jeopardy, so there's in a way not really any excuse. When you can, especially this medical martial law they've imposed, I told you when they, well, as soon as they did it, I told you Washington was the first telegraphing when the judiciary collapsed your remedies, and yet you noticed there was one little thing they left open was the equity. I said, there it is. They can't stop that, and they can't stop habeas. And so that's where you go in, and you don't have to meet them. There, and then they'd make it for a habeas, it would actually be a joke. How those that captured you in your house, they'd have to come and get you and move you down to the court. That'd be a whole other thing. Anyway, it's kind of funny, and that's the part I started thinking is pretty humorous. You're showing them that they've got this thing all backwards and screwed up, and whether or not there's an agenda, it doesn't matter, because at some point they've just simply violated all the objective basis they took an oath to follow. It's pretty simple there. And so moving on over, there are people that are moving stuff forward. Interesting, this one happens to come in an area where one of my colleagues that I talk with and work with extensively for years happens to come right out of this area. Where he passes information about some of this, church individuals file suit in Baker County Circuit Court against Governor Kate Brown seeking injunction to block coronavirus executive orders. The importance of this is not any influence on this case. The attorney that filed it, I think, is actually up in Salem, Oregon. Baker is actually on the far east of Oregon. But a church has sued, and what I wanted to point out in this report, when you go read it, is they sued on the time. They sued on the extension, the excess of time that the governor's utilizing in her executive order. What I was disappointed to see, again, and I will be disappointed until I see it, and properly challenge, is the fact that you can't use a label for a disease as a communicable disease enough to cause an emergency declaration of any sort. Let alone the level that we've seen. And so, but here we have another encroachment against an executive order. All of y'all should have been doing habeas is based on even this. That's why I brought that last week, showing you that in this state, there was a March public health executive order to shut down meetings and such, down to 25 people. And that only had a 14-day shelf life. They never re-upped it. Everybody should just file the habeas to be able to be released by this, or maybe enjoin its effect. You could do it that way as well. But here's a lot, again, a church gets together. A church is interestingly positioned because they do have a direct, because you don't see your rights in the government, even the attorneys and the judge, the attorneys in robes tend to overlook this. You don't seem to have the rights that your organizations have. But at any rate, so a church is positioned here pretty well in the First Amendment as well on a couple of points. And so this is the churches and all you folks that are into involved that, you have even like a double obligation in a way to properly look at what's going on, properly challenge what's happening, and shut down all these executive orders that, again, they've 100% across this nation did the same acts, did the same mistakes, and 100% errors has to be a plan, folks. I don't know what else to say. Moving on. We now have a thing in the news that I looked at. Again, you look at these things and you go, great, they're questioning the problem. And yet you think about it a little, just a little bit, and you start realizing there is this problem. It also happens to be with a robed attorney. A Wisconsin Supreme Court judge questions shutdown order. Isn't it the very definition of tyranny? And you look at that, the shutdown order and tyranny, and you all go, yeah. Well, that's a Supreme Court judge asking questions. Shouldn't the Supreme Court judge be really looking at whether or not the orders are valid on an independent basis? And then she wouldn't even come to that question because they would find that it was unconstitutional. Of course it would be tyranny. They won't be asked the question now. That's why you would strike it down as a Supreme Court judge. And so here we have another judge robed one, bringing to the public air a question that's irrelevant if they would have applied the law. And so we get on focus as our little we-want-someone-to-save-us ideas, and whoa, a Supreme Court judge asked about the shutdown orders and tyranny. Great. That means something. Doesn't mean anything. So thank you for asking the question, but it's irrelevant to the point. You were supposed to look and verify whether or not any party argued it. They were supposed to verify if those orders were valid by law. Or excuse me, in law. That's what we're doing is by law. That's corporate bylaws. In-laws is what we want with in-laws, right? You want to be living with your in-laws. Anyway, in law, not ask questions that way. They should have been asking the fact, well, I see this order was issued on March. The Constitution says 30 days on a general and some disaster declaration by the governor. It's been 3 months. Why are we here? Why is this order existent? Okay, so be careful on what we read in the news and how much we want to embrace it. Again, it's the same kind of a rhetoricalness that I see. It's, okay, you can ask the rhetorical question, but when you had a duty to stop it, or your best position to be able to set the example on how to begin to stop it, and you fail, that's just a slap in the face. That's just an insult. And I don't know how to explain this so that you really, it hits you deep. I just don't have that apparently in me. That you get what I'm saying. It should slam your soul. By we look at these things and we don't really, at least my perception of how people respond to it, they don't really understand the point. Like, I've never seen somebody say, oh, that's fine, but did you determine the executive order valid? I guess it would be I would really appreciate watching people know to say that, not say it because now you heard me say it. Realize that you've looked at it, the condition, and said, wow, okay, that order there did this and this, and there was a constraint on the government, and you go through the informed public on how the hierarchy of authority goes, you look through the law and you find the chain of authority, and then you find a broken link. That should be where you're looking to see the news. And when you don't, you send in the letter and say, listen, why did you talk about tyranny? That's self-evident if you didn't find an order that was valid. How did you... I'm watching, I'm witnessing, I'm in the peanut gallery, yes, but you have to do the law. You have to keep my confidence. Why didn't you ask more of the pertinent question and really not ask, but find whether or not an order, executive order that's outside the constitutional constraints or the statutory constraints was invalid first? And this gets you into being able to, you can send a letter, is that going to beat you up? I doubt it. You certainly set the record in their case that you've got a problem with the appearance of justice. And the appearance of impropriety is a problem, actually. And so I'm saying again and repeating myself, all these points I've told you on how you address what looks the color of legitimacy and is not. We have to look through our own programming. For me, it was watching a Supreme Court justice asking a question about tyranny, but not telling me whether the shutdown order was constitutional first. And then looking at whether or not the thing that allowed that constitutional tyranny, even constitutional tyranny, was a violation of the Constitution. Now, my mind kicked there because of what the posterity had antecedent rights. Is there something else this kind of a compliant, constitutionally compliant order does? And I think there's a whole lot more to talk about in that regard the right to the posterity, the right to the people before their established government. And then you look at the reasonableness at application, and the courts are very well positioned to cleave those parts away. But they won't do it if we all get enamored with the judge, the Supreme Court judge. Isn't this shutdown order tyranny? And don't forget, it's still just a question. We didn't hear the answer. We don't know how it goes into the thought process and works out the legal calculus on how that decision will be made. And then that's only one opinion relative to other opinions, not determinations of law. Also, again, the news tells us we don't live in the place we were, we thought we were, and it was up to us to maintain. And that's the big disconnect that I come to you every week to tell you. We have a problem. It's up to us to fix it. We have innumerable ways to do so. Why aren't we? And so here's another thing I just want to point out, how we can get lulled into it. I got into it. Shutdown order tyranny. Great. Good question. Wait a minute now. You're a Supreme Court judge. You're supposed to declare the law, not ask questions. What about that shutdown order? And so, the question, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? What about it? Because what's the rhetoric on this? I don't know. I don't know what the case did. I don't know how they determined it. I don't know what they said in that thing. But if they've got to the point of a shutdown order being tyranny and have to ask a question, something failed before that. Because no, I'm telling you folks, if you haven't done it, I have. There's no statutory code and rule or no constitutional provision that would allow that question into that court either. I guess if I can say it that way. Had they followed the right protocol, that would not be a question in that court. That it is a question is a self-evident problem that they're not responding to and only asking questions as a justice of law, so-called. It ends up being a justice of legal, doesn't it? Anyway, get on moving. I got to keep moving. Lots of stuff here. So, I was talking over weeks here about what I was saying about how you have to address this. And a woman steps up, and I apologize for not knowing the timing. A lot goes through my face in a week here, and particularly when it happens right after my broadcast. There was a Shelley Luther in Dallas opened up a salon, and then I think it was a couple days after last broadcast, a video came through of the court hearing where the judge is chastising her for being selfish and all in her court hearing relative to not agreeing to an injunction that she had been placed on her. And so this is important. You have to follow every step here, because I noticed that the media and the, whether it's alternative or mainstream or people, I think started to convolute this story. And I don't mean all of you. If you didn't, fine. A lot of you did. And I started seeing the news kind of pop out a lot of stuff that stopped making sense for me on lawful process, even legal process. So the legal process was this administrative nonsense that we saw in the court, the judge chastising a woman for opening her business whose answer was, I'm trying to keep my business open because I have children to feed and I've got workers that have to feed their family. And if you think that's a violation, then you decide how you will. Now that was the wrong thing to say. However, that's what she said. And so when I saw that and I saw the response from the court, and then I applied what I've told you about this coronavirus bogus, the actual failures that have happened that have brought that woman there, even all the way in Dallas. You wanted to mess with Texas, folks? They went right there and messed with Texas. And she stood up, and good for her, but she stood up without a knowledge. So not only did she have no knowledge, she had no knowledge to apply and then didn't apply any. Strictly putting it on her heart, on her spirit, and on her I'm just not going to take it no more. Now, that's good, but it's not good enough, and you see how she got dealt with, and I think this is object lesson as well. There's also a political side to this whole story. You need to keep track of that, because that's the wrong answer, too. Like, it's no different than watching a judge, a bar member, asking the question that shouldn't even be in that court. That if the court saw that question, it should have been, we're going to invalidate this whole thing, because no, even a constitutional order can't be tyranny. Okay, so something went wrong there. We're supposed to be checking the objective basis to make sure that everything is in order that doesn't happen. And even if it happened and it would look like it was lawful, did that really interpret the law correctly where it causes harm? Now, that may be open for debate, but that's, you see, there's a whole different dialogue that goes on relative to these kinds of things that I see people just not even entering into. And therefore, they have no thought in their brain about how anything's going to be approached. You simply respond to the hero that the Shelley Luther was in fighting it, and then she becomes the martyr, if you will, and now we get ourselves in this roller coaster. And no, not many sit down and settle up on the law. Well, okay, so I said, I've told you, write a habeas corpus against this imposition. Somebody actually wrote, it was that representative, wrote an injunction. But he I told you in detail, and I hope some of you went to that link and saw, he did it on a restraint of liberty. That's the cause of habeas. And I said, so, okay, either one. Go ahead and choose either one. But choose one of them. Every one of you in quarantine, go choose either one of them. Go make it the point. If I understand correctly as well, habeas, if it's going to cost you something, which you being locked down and not getting any money right now, you can do an inform a papyrus. You don't have the money because you don't see the future to have any money because it's an indefinite lockdown. That's also a violation. You can file an inform a papyrus and get in for an inform a papyrus, get the state to pay for it. But habeas is the cheapest way into a court as well. So again, I keep pointing, looking at this stuff, there's really not an obstruction here for everybody in America to go out, do what the research I've said about these orders, show in your state, and you do have to go to your state and find out how there's a violation in the chain of authority or the due process that was required in the statutes weren't even followed. And that's how you propose it. She came out with her chin, she got it punched. Okay? This judge puts her in jail for a $7,000 fine and 7 days in jail. I said you do a habeas. Somewhere. No, right. Okay, so that video came out, and I put on I put on a call to Ron Paul because he came out with and said this is all wrong and this and that and the other. I can't remember now where the Twitter. If I put a Twitter and no one responds to the Twitter, it's like lost to me. I don't see it. My Twitter doesn't seem to work very well. Oh, and if I disappear off of Twitter, Twitter is going to take away the legacy thing, and they keep telling me I have a plugin, which I don't. And they're going to try and defeat some security protocols I got. Not for me, just everybody. They're going to move away from the legacy stuff. They're not going to go to the non-legacy. So I have a question to them. So if I disappear from Twitter, that's because I couldn't solve their problem for me, I guess. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Through the Twitter, I sent a thing through Ron Paul, said, can you, any Texan, go out, and now that case is there, in fact, I think it was on that video, I said, as I said, I saw that thing, I put a call out for someone to go into that state and put a habeas in to get her back out for against the judge for putting her in jail in contempt of something that he had no evidence of the harm that the plaintiff had abused or for fraud on the court. It's not fraud on the judge. It's not fraud. It's fraud on the court. Well, it wasn't 24 hours, and somehow a Republican representative and the Republican Attorney General jump in on her case and file an immediate paper to the Supreme Court, and guess what they file? And I'm going to give you a link for it, but the problem is that since I've got it, their website, the court's website, is down. You can't see it, so you're going to have to believe me when I tell you what this is. So the news comes out that the Supreme Court on Thursday ordered the Dallas County officials to free salon owner Shelley Luther from jail while its nine judges, all Republicans, weigh an appeal challenging her incarceration as improper. The emergency order directed county officials to release Luther on a personal bond with no money required pending final disposition of her case. That was the straight-up story that you should listen to. How it was proposed was that because the order came soon after Governor Greg Abbott announced he was modifying his recent executive orders related to coronavirus pandemic, that's facially invalid, folks, but to eliminate jail time for Texans who violate the restrictions. The move by Abbott was an attempt to release Luther and prevent the jailing of others who have violated similar orders in recent weeks. Folks, there was a couple other people in jail as well over this. Right, so this is like my soul's getting crushed here. No one's listening to how this works. this story is incorrect. I'm looking at this. Now, that didn't happen. Why? Because it's an executive branch doing it a problem. He had the power to change his order in the executive side, and he did. But it wasn't because of the Supreme Court later. It was going to come later. And so the story here starts to get all warped out of shape relative to the process people have to understand. And that's why I'm going to talk a little bit more here in time about it. Not just that it happened, but try to show you some things that you got to really start keeping straight. It's not that hard. You just got to watch the ball. You really watch the bouncing ball here. That it wasn't because Governor Abbott had done it. The order. That's executive branch. The judiciary is looking at a different thing. Now, we don't have what they did to get her released until we see the order. Then we don't get the complaint to know what they said. So that's where I have to stop. All I know is the result. And it happens to be in a remedy I've told you you need to do. And it happens to look like when you saw the other report here that's more accurate, pending the final disposition of her case. The case was what she filed at the Supreme Court, not the one, as they say, below, where she got violated by a judge. And I have to read between the lines, but this order comes in, which you can't get, the website's down, the Texas court's website's down right now, but it is a single short statement, and you look at the top of the page, and then it says it comes in the matter and by a habeas corpus. And so the Republican representative attorney and the attorney general of the state came together and helped file an emergency habeas at the Supreme Court. And the answer came out back almost instantly, whatever they said. It came out well within, I think, 12 hours of us finding out that she went to jail. And it said that she to be released in the matter of Shelley Luther to be on a habeas corpus to be released pending an answer. It was supposed to happen last Friday, I think it was the date, by the county, which means they didn't sue the judge. And I think that's an error, but no matter here. But the county's a different point. So the county has to answer relative to the charges that were instituted originally, which the Democratic judge found her selfish over not listening to his orders and his opinion relative to that, and he was insulted. And the Supreme Court came back and essentially, reading between the lines, said, you are required to have the plaintiff prove their case. We're going to issue the habeas. She is restrained of the restraint on her liberty is removed pending the answer by the county. And this court, the Supreme Court of Texas, has this case until that is disposed. It had nothing to do with the governor. The governor found out he went too far. But remember, he also said she gets to be fined $7,000 as well. And so please understand the dynamic here. Understand what's going on. Understand what I've suggested to you is the answer of how you present this is exactly what they just did. It took two lawyers to do this, one of the highest, the general attorney, to actually move this forward. Then we get into the problem of the politics. That's the wrong answer if this was politics. The Republicans can't be against the Democrats in this habeas corpus action. But you see, there's that dynamic. It'll be very interesting to watch how the court responds and keep it out of the politics. I hope they respond in the law, because it'd be simple. I also hope that they challenge, and I did come back with the, after we saw that the Supreme Court of Texas released her, I came right back and said, As I said, here's the habeas corpus petition. Now, Ron Paul, or any Texan, please inform her lawyers, not the attorneys now, they did the law with the habeas. Lawyers, if county responds, assert COVID-19 flu-like symptoms, can't be novel coronavirus, infectious agent, and because there is no test per CDC admission or can cause any disaster. Now, what am I doing there? Do you think they're actually listening to me? I don't think they're actually listening to me. I want to make a record for all that will, that we're not helpless, that this is the stuff that should be done. And I want to also mark on the beast, whether or not these attorneys push that point to invalidate the order against its own Republican governor. There's a bigger test going on with all this. And it's having those smoke and mirrors go on before people's eyes and rallying around their feelings instead of really trying to keep this thing straight. And I try to do that because if we don't have this objective basis to rely on, we really don't have anything. That doesn't mean we're still without a remedy at that point, but we don't have what we thought as a remedy, and we can use that, as I said, you can do in, what was it, Michigan. All your right to bear arms, you put them behind you, you put them behind the diplomats that are moving what? The demand, as I said in the other broadcast. So I immediately came out and told Ron Paul, he's there, he's a Texan, he supports this, he's got to have contact, folks, he's a congressman. Maybe they did get my first message to him. Maybe they'll get the second one. I don't know. But when you are in a problem, this is no different than the guy I'm talking about before, is where'd that land of the free bit go? No, Ron Paul, you're on the front line of this now. And anybody that you know, any Texan as well, it's not just about seeing her released. She's not released, folks. There's a case going on in habeas. The burden is now flipped to the county. I've told you that, and you see it right in that order. You saw it. If I can't get the order, you saw it in the story, the news report that accurately responds to the condition. They are not responding or relying on Governor Abbott or whatever his name is. These are completely different. The Republican governor agrees that you should be fined, though. Not just punished in jail. Not punished in jail. The Supreme Court said, wait, there was a due process violation that you, judge, didn't have the right to be insulted. You are required to require the county provide evidence of its case. As in any case, the burden is on the plaintiff. And so you can watch how this is being done. How if they ultimately do it correct, I don't know. But you can see right here, I'm telling you, this issue, this matter of this medical, the martial law imposition, an extension and breaking the prohibitions of all law, and demonstrably so, demonstratably so, is your way to jump back into this without any harm. And we could straighten and clean up house really well with this if we just would. Stop the excuses. Just jump in. Let me get over back step. I don't have this kind of ordered. I jumped this out. I wanted to go through my mind last night. Let me just go through the orders. I brought you up the Governor Greg Abbott's order that he changes. And I wanted to touch on this and show you his pursuant to the powers of the governor of the state of Texas. Okay, there's constitutional power. Maybe even statutory. Governor Abbott has issued the following. Governor Abbott has issued? That's interesting. So that means someone's speaking for him. Anyway, let's go to the point here. Executive order number GA-22 relating to confinement during COVID-19 disaster. That sentence right there, it's a sentence, is facially invalid. So how? COVID-19 is defined as a disease. By itself, it can't be a disaster. Even if you go to the state's communicable disease definition, if there in Texas should be the same, they're pretty model around the state government. COVID-19 may be named as a disease, but it has to have a what? An infectious agent. It has to have a transmissible agent. Together, they define a communicable disease. So, there is no disaster on symptoms, is the point I've been making. When you say COVID-19 pandemic, now you're incorporating a foreign jurisdiction's suggestion, which is the pandemic from the WHO. It's irrelevant because the state has due process requirements that the government officials are ordered to do, and that's set up that way, and the bar has overseen that to some semblance of correctness. These things must be delineated in order for this thing to move forward. And when they're not, it can't. And if it does without those requirements, those orders are void. It's just really the simpleness of what I'm saying. So on the order that makes the change to remove the punishment of jail, you got to be careful too, because that wasn't what the judge did. He didn't put her in jail for a violation of the injunction. In violation of the order, he got her for contempt of court, both criminal and civil. That's a completely different thing. And here's the thing about that that got my mind, my eye on that, was except the one thing I'll mention. I have never seen a contempt of court overthrown by a higher court, except one condition. And that habeas was the lever that pried that limpet off the rock. And what that is that the court didn't have a right to be insulted. And how the court didn't have the right to be insulted was that he didn't require the plaintiff to prove its case with evidence. Just what I said to Ron Paul, if he was listening, through Twitter, no less, and anybody else watching, to file the habeas and challenge what? He made a prejudicial decision without evidence and or fraud on the court. The judge himself can create that fraud on the court. The plaintiff creates a fraud on the court. The attorneys create a fraud on the court. This is just a massive point right here that people would appreciate what's going on. The Supreme Court in habeas said, judge, okay, you have a power in the, you went there. You said you got insulted and I'll just tell you in the law, we don't have the power to say that you didn't, but you had to have a right to be insulted. And where we see that we have to have an answer in habeas, you should have had that answer as well. And so you didn't have the right to be insulted. We're going to remove and release her. It's not over, folks. She still has to defend the habeas, even though she doesn't have the burden. Well, I've suggested when the county comes and starts to rely on the executive order and all this other nonsense, you go to the order, you say, but that can't be anything. That's a fraud on the court to display it. This symptoms is not a communicable disease. To get the communicable disease, you're going to have to identify an infectious agent. The CDC says the presumed virus cause has no test. What is the county using to test the second element of a communicable disease? And if you don't have a communicable disease, what's the executive orders based on? Where's the disaster fire? Where's the fire? This is really simple to get at some point. Now, really, everybody being locked down is just being given a license to just route this thing. And other things as well, if you've been understanding what I've been saying at all. This thing, every facet that's the infrastructure of all this can be rooted out. We can get the termites out with this. We can make constraints right now while the iron is hot. What else did I say? I got another link for myself here now. So then I say, after that sentence, and this is where I instruct the second one, no, certainly not if anybody's not listening, but for y'all that will see, I'm making a basis, a foundation for you to see there's a different way to approach this and whether or not the Bar Association people will. Whether or not the judges will step up in their inherent power to do law even if the parties do not. I was actually inspired when I read cases that long time ago now, they haven't happened recently it seems, long time ago the courts would actually step up and slap both parties' attorneys down and explain what the case was supposed to be. Awesome. Awesome sight to watch judges and you analyze what they said and they were right on. And I said, wow, there's an example that it could happen here. Why isn't it not? But I go on to answer this. After this order came out from the Supreme Court, I said, if this sentence upon the COVID-19 is based executive order, can someone, if this sentence is upon COVID-19 based executive order, can someone in Texas please file a habeas against the judge challenging the demonstrable invalidity of the orders or fraud upon the court for which the judge prejudicially and without actual evidence determined the matter? That's what I said first. I then followed up and said, once that habeas order came out of the Supreme Court, I said, as I said, now Ron Paul or any Texan, please inform her lawyers if county responds, assert COVID-19, flu-like symptoms can't be novel coronavirus infectious agent, and because there is no test per CDC admission and can cause any disaster. And then I gave the link to this order because in there it talks about the novel coronavirus, which is not COVID-19 disease. There is no test for the virus. It's not novel anyway. It's the common cold, and COVID-19 may be a label that you can call a disease, but for a communicable disease, it doesn't have the second element of the virus or the causative agent, the infectious agent. This is simply running down a definition, folks. that should be in every one of your states. Okay, so this is not a hard thing, actually. You have every Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. You've got them all showing they're derelict in their office to do the most basic due diligence and honestly move something forward. Because what's the problem? If you get it wrong, people are going to get hurt. I've identified this over and over. And it just triggered in my mind. Mooster was talking on Friday in Freaker's Ball about having a problem not getting out because she had a firearm that she can't practice with. Remember last week I referenced the Virginia case that I got from Gary Long where that court identified that case. There's already a case in precedent in Virginia that can be moved over to your state, Moose Girl, if you're listening, or anybody there. You can move that case forward and say because if you have a closed training, you can use that case as precedent to say, well, I have this right. They even spoke about the federal requirement under federal law. There's also a Supreme Court case. I talked about these last week. And if you have a problem with the fact of not being trained, that is a problem. That's a constitutional problem. You have an action you can file. So whether or not that's injunction or habeas, I don't know. But you've developed already what I heard on the habeas. And anybody who's in this condition, you need to keep trained. The Virginia court case explained it. The Supreme Court's agreeable to having to hear that. Again, there's no proof here one way or the other, but it's not that you're helpless either. You have a thing you can do, and it's some of this is now coming out. So I point to these issues so that you can see, well, some guy gave us his legal paperwork, the representative from Illinois. You can use that. When we go to Virginia, you got an order, you can get those paperworks, you got that one. You see now a couple lawsuits, the church came up. The church came up and sued. They won. Now, they're doing it not on the extent that I'm saying, but if you can feel comfortable to fit inside that and that conforms with what you need, perfect for you. It's not about trying to solve the world at this point. It's trying to hold on to the territory we have and do it in a way. I think if you do it in this way, you're going to set precedents now that are really going to knock these people back. And you don't let the attorneys make the wrong statements, is what I'm seeing. Even the black, the robed ones, asking the question, isn't this lockdown order the definition of tyranny? That shouldn't have even come out of her mouth if she was supposed to look at the order to find if it was valid or not. Because then the question wouldn't be, given this is a constitutional shutdown order and it's committing tyranny, what is you asking an attorney? What would be your suggestion on our view on that? Because now we're getting input from the parties on what the real point is. Okay, we see this as a constitutional order, but it's committing harms and tyranny. And so that needs to be placed. But we aren't even there yet. And we can't get there because of how I'm explaining this communicable disease failure. It's a suggestion from that this thing is going on and no one's settled down. Look right in your statutes and go down your public health statutes and read the definitions. This is how I started to get really key in after I saw the magic code decoder ring, what COVID-19 was, what coronavirus was, what SARS-CoV-2 was specifically, what the common cold was relative to those names and labels. As I did the Princess Petri Dish Cruise discussion, explained it all there, how to plug these words in, what they say, not what you think they say. It all unraveled for me, their system unraveled for me, and then I found the definitions and just started plugging in words. And then I was able to find the complete failure of due process on many levels, invalidating every step, whether that was an obligation and duty of the county, or whether it was the governor, or whether it was the established government that failed in its inherent powers, in obvious things. Even had a complaint, somebody was called in, the representative, a colleague I was working, he was talking on the radio, the representative called in, well, we're not meeting, we can't do anything with this, like he was going to do something. That just, to me, it didn't come out this way, but I'll tell you, that came out to me as, well, that just shows you that the dysfunction of your government in this condition doesn't allow for a remedy. That was, for me, one more empowerment of the people to solve the problem, as we see in the Virginia example. Okay, so, again, I just want to point this stuff out. We're not helpless. The answers are around. Even if you don't know now, a concerted effort to find the answer will quickly come about, and I think even quicker if you just take notes. And I think about you, Vin E., all the notes you've said you've taken. Just take notes and apply, go to a thing that interests you, the wrong you need to make right. Start at the trailhead that I lead you to, and then solve that problem for yourself, whomever you are, however it is, even if it's kind of looking impossible. There's this objective basis in the law, not their legal opinions about it, but in the basic law. It's amazing. And again, go for wherever you find the information in the authoritative sections, even the government itself. I told you, go use the CDC's determination there is no test by going to that serology test page for COVID-19. It's linked to the broadcaster weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And then you go to find the FDA for the diagnostic panel, say this doesn't test for SARS-CoV-2. There. They agree. There is no test for an infectious agent. That dynamic, you apply it everywhere, and then you step back a little bit. That same method is applied in every other subject matter that they're violating us in. Okay? Because we're up against an organized criminal syndicate, and that's very difficult to beat, and you're not able to run at them in a big mass, and they may not be looking at you anyway. So you have to kind of do it on your own, and you're only going to get the rights that you for yourself that you have and you assert. It's never been about the mass rights. When they go to the people, that becomes your representative. You have to show how there's a failure there, and then you have the right. Okay, so there's a two-step process they put us in when they made the republic you can keep, and then they invaded and overtook it. And so I keep telling you, be cognizant of that, and it informs you on how you're going to proceed. It informs me on how I explain how you're going to defeat what they do and some of the remedies that are left to you. When I said do the habeas, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't a question. If you understand how to put your quarantine in the verbiage of restraint of liberty, and then show that it facially is invalid the cause that they believe that they're imposing, boy, that'll kick real quick. Now, if it doesn't, now you have a problem with that court, and that's another problem. I don't really talk to that. That may be where you go to a different, like a federal court. That may be where you got to get a lot more people to point it out. Okay, when you get to black and white, this is how I tell you we deal with commissioners that are reticent to go do the law. We point out the law, and then we point out that people are going to witness that at some point if you continue to be reticent in applying the law. And that potential exposure has a lot of force and effect. It doesn't seem like much, but it's like a threat. Only it's not just a threat. It's an actual thing you're going to pull through. Why? Not because of your opinion. Because you pointed out the black and white that had certain propositions, duties and obligations that were supposed to be performed, that the officer that had the oath to or the delegated authority to do failed. That's a malfeasance or a maladministration. Again, maladministration, it's not criminal, not civil, but it's actionable by the people, at least by the Virginia Constitution. And I think you can give full faith and credit, or sister state, equalization and reciprocity to those concepts. And why? Because this nation was created under an idea that we can kind of focus on the organic document of the Declaration of Independence. And I'm not going to go through all those things, just as a place. Okay, there's a whole lot of history behind this that shows it's another setup, but it doesn't matter. We can use this stuff for now. In other words, I don't have to argue about the military. Even though this public health emergency is under military control, sections of the codes of the states, I don't talk about that part. I just pointed out I know it's running, it's functioning underneath the skin. I don't talk about it. All I do is I focus on what's failed at this point. That other thing is a bigger thing to overcome once we get people thinking more correctly. Move on. What's going on? The organized criminal syndicate behind what money can do to destroy things. You know, you're supposed to have laws against bribery, but then you find out the whole system is one big agreement system because it's all profitable. It's an office of profit, generally. This came up breaking here last night on this. It's an importance of what you're up against. Not to defeat us, but to see that it's working and it's part of the problem that you may have to look into whomever you're writing a letter to see. Would they be affected by something like this would they be amenable to a suggestion that knowledge that it did, that they would be not liking that this happens and they want to protect against the appearance of impropriety? This is also a type of a leverage you can bring if it's applicable. Bill Gates offered House of Reps $10 million bribe for speedy passage of a compulsory vaccine bill that was done in Nigeria. Okay, so this is an assertion by the Coalition of United Political Parties on Monday alleged that it intercepted a human intelligence report that the Nigerian House of Representatives leadership was poised to forcefully pass the compulsory vaccine bill without subjecting it to traditions of legislative proceedings. In a statement issued and signed by the spokesperson of the opposition political party, barrister Ikenga Imo Nguchinyere, and sent a daily post in Abuja on Monday, and the body urged lawmakers in the lower chamber to rise against impunity. And the statement alleged the sum of $10 million was offered by the American computer czar Bill Gates to influence the speedy passage of a bill without recourse to legislative public hearing. I won't read any more. Okay, there we know everyone has the stories about Bill Gates. The problem is, don't just focus on him. He's working as a figurehead in front of a system, okay? Don't just focus on him. Why I keep telling you, focus on the authorities that are making the decisions. I don't know how we're going to deal with that quite yet. People are calling for their arrest. That's likely not going to happen. So we got to stop something before we can get to that condition. This is an opposition political statement. I don't know the truth of it, but let me point out what's happened in the United States, even without that story. If you don't think this stuff runs quickly, then there might be some influence like that going on that we can't yet prove. This is the United States House now, proposes H.R. 6666. You know, that perks some ears up, I know. And it's tyranny being unveiled before America's sleeping eyes. House proposes H.R. 6666, and it's tyranny being unveiled before America's sleeping eyes is just now being told to people. I had a friend come over the other day or so ago to inform me that this was coming on. I didn't know anything about it, so I threw it up here. I'll just tell you, the 6666 was also an HR to the, I think it was last year or the year before. It's not they just number these things. It went to the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, on one of their laws, so I don't get too wrapped up with the numbers, although it's certainly coincidental. No different than the patent to Bill Gates for the mining your energy through the Internet of Things. What was it? What was that patent number? 02020606060626. 2026666. Yeah, pretty interesting, right? Okay, so let's not get lost in that. Let's get to the point. What are we going to do about it? So, time's up. It's going to get ugly. That seems to be a common theme now. No one listened to me for, 20 years, 30 years now, but it's okay. Fine. I said, how many times have I said, time is now? But anyway, time's up. It's going to get ugly. Well, it can get ugly. I'm hoping we don't make it ugly because that's going to be kind of us in a way. Just when you thought you've seen it all in this Orwellian world, we're now living in where stars such as Madonna and globalist scientists are putting out calls for the world never to go back to normal, and we get a huge taste of what the globalist new normal would be if they can get their sinister way in H.R. 666. All I can say is when you see this kind of law, which is for the they call it illegal. So you got to stop doing this. You can't call it illegal. If the legislature is doing it, you can't call it illegal. All you're going to have is a way to try and stop them from doing it or enjoying it when it goes in. And this is kind of how my experience in 2013 was. And you got to be careful on when you file the suit prior because the courts will now allow the legislature to make all kinds of vile acts, put them in law, and then make you go fight them. I still think it's a violation, but I can't change that either. That this is called the TRACE Act, the House proposal H.R. 6666, to authorize the Secretary of Human Services to award grants to eligible entities to conduct diagnostic testing for COVID-19 and related activities such as contact tracing through a mobile health units and as necessary as at individuals' residences and for other purposes. That should terrify you. violates the very idea, as an opinion here from the article, violates the very idea of a civil society. It is stunningly illegal, beyond power grab, beyond what the Constitution offers and the Congress, and an outright assault on the people, to be deplored by all. And it is also a massive waste of $100 billion allocated for 2020 alone. First of all, the allocation of the money, if they can justify it, it's not. You'd have to prove that it was a violation. All these statements of opinion and what it says is illegal, I want you to think about how would you prove that and then go prove it. If you can't, stop saying it. And if you can't, turn your attention to something you can prove. These assumptions that we place on all this are killing us. We think because we say so that it answers the problem. It doesn't. Right off the bat, of testing for COVID-19, folks, you need to put a letter, all of you. This is serious stuff here. I don't know how to amp this up. It's not something you can. This should be incorporated in how you address this, because if you listen to what I'm saying, it all works. You almost write one letter off. You just send it to different places. COVID-19, you need to have them, if they want to think they can trace people, if they think it doesn't violate people's privacy, if you think it doesn't violate their presumption of innocence, and whatever all else comes to your mind, that COVID cannot be a cause that they will be doing, because COVID is flu-like symptoms. And so the government has no authority in order to trace and track people on the common cold that has been given higher flu-like symptoms. In other words, we're back to we might have a disease, we don't have an infectious agent. What are you testing for? So this law is faulty coming out of the gate. How about if you just don't pass it? Hopefully you'll be able to address every one of those points. I don't know. Okay? But they're working the police power. You have to address it, as I've been telling you, to defeat that authority. You have to defeat that in your opening paragraph. Once you do, the rest of it's just easy. It's self-evident, right? Isn't that lockdown tyranny? Sure. Absolutely. It didn't follow any law. And because the legislature is proposing it, doesn't mean that it's proper. And so it's time to really come forward. You got time in quarantine. Stop complaining. Get to action. Write a simple letter here and there, even if it doesn't seem like it's doing much. It's an essential function. Get yourself down out of your house, if that's the only way you can do it. Get yourself to the post office. The political control by the people of the government is an essential function. Stop letting them talk you out of it. Like the woman at the lounge or the hair salon. Have a better word in your mouth about that. Insist that there was evidence, at least, to prove that you're a vector, right? You're the transmissible agent. Presumptive lockdown on presumptive guilt, that doesn't work either, does it? But at any rate, so H.R. 666, brought to my attention here a couple days ago, just wanted to point that out. While this is going on, you think this comes out without having a plan before it? No. This is all part of the plan, that they want to do their contact tracing, and I don't believe that you should call it Big Brother when you talk about contract tracing. I think that's another scam on our minds. You need to identify contract tracing because it's a thing. It does a thing. It violates a thing. And if you start putting it underneath the convolution of it's just Big Brother, you're going to miss the big point. And that's to identify how they're taking you down piece by piece and where it violates you. Big Brother doesn't violate you. Contact tracing where there's no cause violates you. So I'm not a proponent of renaming those things which have a special meaning. Do not put labels on that. You see them doing the label thing when they try to defeat you. You're going to defeat yourself. A popular guy just said that. I don't know about these people anymore. I start thinking about it. Anyway, so I have the text of H.R. 666 for the testing. Testing, reaching, and contacting everyone, Trace Act. What's their cause? What authority in commerce do the government, federal government, have? The federal government now, folks, they're not supposed to be in the states anyway. I would tell you this would be just over in Washington, D.C. at best. But that's not how people would interpret it. That's not how the Bar Association would limit it. And then once they get it in, they'll bribe your governors in order to take the money, just like they did on this fraud, this coronavirus bogus. That's what they did. I told you, I explained all that as we're going into it. I said, watch, these states are doing this because the federal government's going to make an order. Once they do that, the money starts to flow in. So, inside the system, in Nigeria, we have a complaint that Bill Gates is spending lots of money to bribe people. I'm suggesting to you the Office of the Profit of the United States government, whether we know Bill Gates did anything, are sitting there to take on the same style bribe for different reasons and different ideological advancements and everything else. It's happening. You see the evidence of it in a bill like I just pointed out. But now, what's coming down on us, and I have a mixed feeling about this. I'm going to give you this link. It's just to a video. It's another opinion. Someone apparently in California. And again, Lex Logos, thank you for my attention to this. I responded in criticism of this, so don't think I'm giving it to you like it's the answer. It's actually the antithesis of what the answer is, but it points out some things. But the gentleman, the title of the video is California Governor Admits Lockdowns Until a Miracle Kung Flu Vaccine. Now, again, Kung Flu, we can laugh. Yeah, I understand the joke and the humor. I get all that humor stuff, but when they're killing people with this and locking down a whole nation and world, the globe, I haven't risen above enough to laugh at it. I get the jokes, but I don't get that much of the joke. That I think all this discussion is really wasting our time once we see it. So I'm giving you this link. It was passed on to me because the gentleman's right on. I mean, he makes sense of the nonsense. All right? So what's going on relative to all this? It's like a progression. I told you this. Like, they haven't... All the wrong they're doing has been 100%. That has to be a plan. And no, I'm not going to trivialize it by saying plandemic. This is so much deeper than that. It's scary to, put these labels. Sometimes putting labels, well, I think most of the time, labels can be very dangerous here. And I've told you that relative long ago when I got into the mining law and found out how the government mistreats grantees so they can eliminate having to honor grants. And then I found out that was a big deal to keep your vocabulary accurate, because that protects, to large part, protects you to maintain the jurisdiction and authority and property that you were owed or owing or was owed to you, or to be not touched or trespassed as one that might be have inroads by anyone. And so the terminology, yes, street language is great, but no, not in these instances today. What I've been telling you about the specificity is hitting us in spades. And so I'm not agreeable to a lot of some of the words going through, none of the trivializing that goes on. Your life is on the line. If you don't see it now, it's coming new in the future. You're going to have a bunch of stalkers on you. Contact tracers, private organizations are hiring people. I don't know if I put it up here. Seattle's going to hire a bunch of contact tracers. They're going to be asking you about what you're going to do, about where you've been, who you've been with. I think they're a private entity. I think they're trespassing your space as a private entity. They also, if they're doing the government, you have the right to remain silent. You would have the right to remain silent anyway. Okay? Get away from me. Don't talk to me. Right? Please do not try to argue or discuss or defend yourself or even tell anybody your position when these people show up in your face. I'd probably actually, if they were stalking me, I'd probably get an injunction against that, anti-stalking order, whatever they call those things, or I'd call a complaint against the cops who won't care, but you start building the case. See, you have thousands and thousands of people, the cops have to start dealing with it. I don't understand if you understand the numbers here, what numbers can do flooding places. All right? They just don't want to deal with it. And they know it's stupid, so all of a sudden you start asserting your rights. But here it comes. So anyway, this gentleman, Salty Cracker, he does say, I responded to Lex Logos. I said, this guy talks all sorts of sense after his mouth and nose have been led underwater, with his subscribers in tow. Until people get what I've explained on how to deal with this condition, they will be drowned with their consent. #complaining is not correction. Okay, so I agree with the sense being made, folks. I'm not against the sense you're making of the problem. That's not solving the problem. Restating it to people as a problem may be entertaining, it may be informative. It doesn't get people, or people are not activated, and shame on us for not being so, to figure out, okay, that guy just seen some common sense, if we will, sensible problems, insanity, it's hurting me, I need to stop it. I need to be one that stops it. And so this is my complaint about even sense being made by people, the truth and honesty that they see. That view, that knowledge is not power. You turning that around and attacking the thing if it's a harm to you and fixing it or attempting to or calling people to help you put the fire out of it, essentially, is what will. And again, I mean, we're like minds, I'm sure, with Lexi. He says, I agreed. I just find this brand of comedic mockery amusing, and the story itself is more of the same doubling down craziness out of these governors. I agree. We're in a like mind here. If it's a problem, my problem is that we're not stopping it. Again, it stopped making sense. These guys, these insane people don't have a limit. They're going to triple down. They're going to quadruple down because they get away with it. And what they're getting away with is such an abomination that we look at it like it's a big monster when in fact it's, what is it, like a house of cards, literally. You just find the one thing. Their whole base floor is wrong, but you can just find one card in their house and you pull it out. As I said, even if you didn't want to challenge the veracity of the so-called COVID pandemic executive order and the lawfulness of it, when they go beyond time, it's the same. It's another card in their house of cards. Pull it out. Challenge your restraint wherever, whatever, your money, your living, where you are, your liberty. You know, your restraint of your liberty where you don't have the money to go do your liberty. Like, kind of keep and bear arms works out the same. I have the right to use my gun. I have the right to train to use my gun. I have the right to the ammunition. I have the right to the function of the thing I have the right to keep, bear, and acquire. And then I have the purpose that's being interfered with. So all this stuff, I've talked to you about all this in mining law. I did that because that was more tangible for people. Now where the intangible has become the monster, and all of a sudden no one knows how to respond to it. And then I also know we are just an ignorant people, as I've said. We just generally are an ignorant people. We don't have a clue about the real law. We don't know how to assert it. A habeas is the real law relative to the government establishment, the prohibition against it. And that's why I changed my terms from attorney to lawyer when those attorneys filed the habeas. Whether they execute that as a lawyer, I don't know. Whether the court takes it on as a lawyer, I don't know. Whether politics skews that answer, I hope not, because we need to see a true answer out of that, the Luther case. Okay? So, I say, okay, big deal. Okay, who knows? Is it or not? You're sitting by and doing nothing for your own sake is not. If you're someone, like this other gentleman, that sees the insanity, and you have a following group, I think it's your duty, literally your duty, to organize your thoughts about it when you see it, and then look for how you're going to counter those insanities that you see. Even if they're not insane, just violations. Even if they're minor, because see, you see, not ones underneath 18. I mean, small. Anyway, even small transgressions are where this thing goes off the rails. And we've we've let chasms go by here without response. So thanks again, Lex Logos. I'm with it. I understand it. But because people are being harmed and we're not exercising keeping that republic, if you will, and I don't get all patriotic about this. When you see the failure of people with power that can hurt you, get away with a crime, you're just, again, a witness to a crime and you're part of it, essentially the accessory. And so seeing a thing is one thing. To do something about it really raises the bar for us. And this is where it was established to us if we would, again, keep that. So if you're looking now in response, I'm moving through here, as you're looking at some... what you see, and in that regard, I saw a couple of citations that I'm going to give you in whole from Blacklisted News. It was a list of things. If you're seeing the problem and you want to articulate it, it helps to listen if you don't have more for yourself on how to word some of these things. There may be better writers than you explaining the condition that you can adopt, you can take on, to take on their work or identify a problem that you may find important. This is Simon Black via Sovereign Man. I didn't look any deeper. I just see a list, folks. It's up to y'all to go look and see if it's important, see what's going on, see the insanity, see where the system is going to defeat you, and you have to put your mind on how you're going to counter that. That's why I'm going to give you these two other two links here. It's like pre-crime. California County launches snatch and grab COVID spy program. That's not the only thing they list on this article. I go through a couple titles here. Ventura County, California to hire dozens of COVID spies. That's that tracing. Seattle City, this is what I was talking about, I suppose, earlier. Seattle City councilman calls for nationalizing Amazon. And if you don't think Bezos is a problem, look at all the military contracts he's got. Look at the system of intelligence and databasing he has in the Amazon data center. This is not an idle consideration that's going on. That people are thinking about it. You have a bunch of criminals in your midst that are making decisions. I also realize that these cities and these counties, for the most part, have the sustainable infrastructure. Seattle, for sure. And I think one of my listeners up there in Washington, or used to be in Washington, knows that absolutely. And I've talked to you about giving the name Nikki Rapana. I think she's up at Rapana. She's up in, fought the good fight for as long as she could and then moved to Alaska. Got away from the whole nonsense because there's just no one to step up. And now you're seeing the, because no one helped her then, is what you're seeing, the effects of what you're seeing today, whether or not you know that. I know that. And I don't talk to her. I don't know anything about her. Well, I did. How I identified her is that she picked up an old article that I wrote and put it on one of her websites. So that's how I found out. I somehow did a search and found, I didn't even know that this was, this is early on, found out that she had picked up one of my writings a long time ago and was putting it on her website to explain this stuff to her, website readers. Undercover cops arrest women for working from home. This is no different than any of the things I'm talking to. And this is again in Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Texas, you're just a target. You just got a big target on you. And I think I know why. If you read the proclamation of Andrew Johnson back in 1868, we read about that. Texas has got a big federal problem. Anyway, Nashville mayor wants to hike property taxes 32% in crisis budget. Quickly on this one, property taxes, the things that on property taxes they're raising is because you allow your not saying it's going to be easy to remove, but that you allow the assessor to use ad valorem characterization on a property that actually probably has a patent. If you would research that, there's no ability to tax a patent land. You have to get them to characterize, stop mischaracterizing the land as ad valorem or market value or commerce property or held less than fee simple property. If that was what y'all did, what they're saying for hiking property taxes here would not affect the most of all of you. It would affect only their legal entities and those doing leases. Okay, so it's where you see this. Nashville mayor wants to hike property taxes 32% in crisis budget. Everyone, the crisis, what crisis? But see, you've not said anything to counter it. You've not exposed what I've been explaining, even the basics. There's a whole lot more to come here to support what I'm saying. I'm just trying to give you quick basics here. That because you looked at that and you don't understand the law, we're ignorant of our own law, you're ignorant of how they violate your property, and it doesn't look like you have any, and you're going to give the property back over to the government if you don't pay them, is because you've allowed them to mischaracterize the actual status, and you've never made that correct record. And then you have another problem with dealing with the Bar Association, because they don't want you to have property, for as much as they're talking to you that they want to do law and justice, it's not that kind. And so this is a bigger fight, and if more of us were doing it, it would be less of a fight. But anyway, so you see property tax increase of 32% for a crisis budget, a fraud, of doing a fraud, and we stay silent, folks? Okay, enough. The article is listed here. If you wanted to see what you could jump into, how they're taking you down, and then just jump in and see, well, how would I defeat that? Would be a good start for we the people. Instead of us, like I responded to somebody, she's saying it's frightening to watch a mother being ripped from the kid being ripped from her daughter because they were walking around on a lockdown order. I think it might have been in Europe, and this is frightening to watch. I said, it's not actually frightening. What's frightening is we the crickets. That's terrorizing. So there's another article here going, authoritarianism in the age of pseudoscience. You know, it tugs on my heart over best science is BS. The corruption of science, the falsification of science, as we saw all these things happen, it goes through a whole lineage of things where the tools of that they use in order to create a basis from which that they are destroying us and allowed to destroy us. It's going to take a lot more work on this list of things. He goes through a lot of subject matters. I thought it, though, it was a good thing to kind of go through, even though it's kind of through a lot of things here. You can see different points that are being made that I thought were valid to incorporate for oneself in addressing some of these things. He goes through a lot of the things I've said before. I didn't read through it with a fine-tooth comb to see whether or not I would 100% agree. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to offer people the places to go to see writers that are talking on subject matters that are comprehensive enough and on point that if you didn't understand where the dynamic was, it would give you a basis from which to start to work. That, again, just that is can be such so much anything that everybody being affected by executive orders relative to COVID-19 or pandemics alone, only stated that, everyone has a dog in this fight. Everyone has a cause of action, the response of which can, the answers of which in law can fix. Everyone should be flooding back into their system to challenge it. And I don't know how many people feel jeopardy in doing that. It's just doing it. So I lay out all these things because you could be doing any one of these fights. But this COVID really, really hits right at home, in your home, got you confined to your home, and then you have a complaint instead of an action. And I say, let's move it into action. I think back. Keeps hitting me. The last 5 months, I've probably been, these broadcasts are going to play well, really well. Whether or not this thing ends and we get it fixed or not, these last 5 months, I've been trying to think, what am I doing wrong or not telling you or what you should do different? Have I made a mistake? Did I predict, did I anticipate this right? Am I going through trying to anticipate even as we go? These last 5 months of broadcasts, I think, are good to go. Take them to the bank. Just start applying them. Do the action part. And I think focusing on COVID, as I explain it, where you can go in your own statutes to see your parameters and dates may be different. Just drop them in to the form there that I've instructed you to start with, and you will have a cause. I can't see how you won't. I don't know of any condition that you wouldn't, unless your position that it never affected you, and I don't know that there's really anybody I've heard that really isn't affected. You just have to look far enough. Do you just want this tyranny on you or not? Are you going to ignore it? It's not going away. Are you going to ignore it? You see the bills coming to make it worse. You see private parties coming in, the public-private partnerships. That's probably going to be the worst of the worst. You see things of coming down the pike of the Internet of Things and the Internet infrastructure that's all being militarized by people like Bezos that are in the inside of this. And what are we doing? What's some of the effects of all this this nonsense? Shock, new development as children fall ill with syndromes similar to severe COVID-19. I was actually surprised when the COVID didn't attack the kids, and when it didn't, I said, okay, what are they bringing on to bring the children? It's always going to be on the UN side about the children. It was a while later, and this is an older story, I'm finally getting to it, that the shock, new development, children fall ill with syndrome similar to severe COVID-19. Now the children are involved. Then I was thinking, now this is how they're going to go in order to be able to remove the kids again from parents who there is no test, there's no way to take, you're asymptomatic, the government can just use this to come in and yank your kids out. Well, guess what comes down the pike? It's not just there's a syndrome. They're actually coming down because you saw the United States government already agreeing they want to track you and trace you to your house. They now are going on the street at this point and giving you lockdown violations, presuming you to have something that you may be innocent of where there is no test and they have no way to make shift the presumption. And they cause you to be the problem if you have a son or daughter. And when they arrest you, CSD is right there to steal the little one. This story was about a syndrome, something else that had flu-like symptoms. Why I thought it was important. I anticipated, well, I didn't understand why they didn't go after the kids, the children first. Children, women, children, and the indigenous. Remember that list of three. That's the stalking horse cases they bring on in order to bring these things in. Then they went to this, and I said, okay, there it is. But this also implied there was other things that would bring what? COVID-19. What's COVID-19? Flu-like symptoms. It's nothing else, folks. And so there's a syndrome out there that brings on severe COVID for children. Now they've hit the other side, as I was looking at this. We also now have this so mysterious virus-like syndrome. This is all, again, the boogie monster here, the boogie virus. They're bringing up this continuation, and no one shuts them down. This was done in Britain, and so this was telegraphing what was coming, and Frumpy this morning sent me this, I was going to talk about it, but he sent me a link to a Twitter where it's a video of what's going on and the condition here, and I was going to talk about the consequence of allowing this to go on, and you think it's not affecting you, but it will be affecting you because the comprehensive nature of what, like I said, the Modernization Act with the UN touches, everything in your life gets touched. Actually destroyed in you and about you. And so this is what I wanted to also bring up in the shock, what I was talking about the shock and moving to children and then giving the government an inroad to attack the children for a syndrome that's not actually proven from something that's mysterious, no different than this, what we're talking about, the corona, COVID-19. It's the same method, but now it's targeting the children. It was the precursor to the destruction of the family, which I've said before and told you I want to mention, the consequence of this is the enforcement of the rights of child and the over-the-top use of the father of the country being the state that we've all heard of and experienced, and I've also exposed to you as used as a front for the pedophilia thing. But so Frumpy sent me a link to Twitter, some beach milk. One of the goals of the New World Order is to destroy family units and essentially make children the property of the state. These NWO martial law COVID police in Australia are getting in some practice splitting up families for a crime of going for a walk on a Sunday. This is just an extension of what's been going on for decades relative to child services and what they would do to knock on your door. And I told you, as a woman, especially single moms, if you're there and they knock on your door with a cop, don't answer the door. And when they leave, you better leave. You better get the heck out. And at any rate, so now you can't walk on the street with your kids. They see your kids, they're telegraphing that you're going to be a target. And Australia is where you're starting to see the video of it. The children are a property of the state. The word children means ward of the state. That's an administrative sense. But the father, the country being, the state being a father to you is also an interesting problem for you that you've never argued. That this is nothing new. Rights of child actually amplify, put this on steroids. Now because of this fraud of symptoms being a cause, which it can't, no communicable disease can be identified with a mere disease. The symptoms. They're utilizing this to destroy further the ability to encroach on the family unit. And so this is, thank you, Frumpy, for putting me, it was a good thing to add in. I was just going to try and remember this as a Twitter is. You just see a little glimpse, and that's coming to probably a place near you if it's not already there, but whether or not you've actually recognized it, it's already been happening. And so this is the UN agenda right in your face. You don't really recognize that. You think it's the government trying to do good because, oh, now we've vilified everybody as presumptively carrying something that's a symptom. I mean, my mind boggles about that alone. Homeland Security's biometrics database is on its way to Amazon Cloud. Okay, here I told you this would come in. Here was in the news. So all this databasing that goes on, all these arrests, all these people, all this identification, all this tracking, all this tracing, how long have I been talking about this? How long has lots of people been talking about this? And we all sit there and rock in our rockers and drink our tea and think we're all healthy and all, and this is what's coming on, and now they're going to get their central database. But they're going to do it through Homeland Security. That's the military, isn't it? And so this is Bezos and Amazon being nationalized. You hear the stories coming down and through where they're going to, and they're going to put all of this violation against your families, whether it's the nuclear family, whether it's just your family, whether you're just an extended family, whether it's just your right to live in peace, any of that is being destroyed as you sit there and do nothing about it. And they have now the digital Internet of Things being worked on through the military department, through Bezos, and thought by a representative wanting to make Amazon, nationalize Amazon, if you didn't understand fascism. Here we go. This is the, I understand, if I understand correctly, Bezos, the owner, is, I think, the richest man in the world at this point. Another billionaire. There's a turtle look to him with a smile on his face. Like he's got something going. He's going to be turtled up. He's protected. Okay, so I don't know about all this and what you sitting down and what you think about it, but people are that are in the world acting against you really have taken advantage. And I don't know, how do you stop that? You can't stop the government, what the government's doing. You could affect it because you could actually, again, there is that flimsy political side. But there is there, that is there, but this thing is moving into place and that you see it. You know them when you see them, folks. This is not a good sign. And this is you're out of position on this one. And it's going to really take an organized thought in people in order to address it. I have nothing more to say, really, because if we're not moving even on the most basic, obvious frauds that the governors are now perpetrating across this country, or the Bar Association members, whether they're in robes or not, are doing under the color of what you think is justice, and they're asking the wrong questions when there shouldn't be a question. They ask the question. We're missing the whole game. And underneath the delay of that is this thing is moving forward. Homeland Security's biometrics database is on its way to Amazon Cloud. And I'm suggesting to you that's going to be the real ID when they finally force that into you. And then when they get the protocols for the genome database sharing, it's all going in there, folks. And then we have this one. U.S. firm combines nanotechnology blockchain for COVID-19 immunity passports. This is an older story. It came up. This is now you think about that database now. I had to pull it right on up. I'm finally going to get to it. Do you see how it's all tied together? This story was an older story. U.S.-based quantum dot producer, Quantum Materials Corporation, QMC, announced its blockchain-based QDX health ID for transparency in disease testing and immunization for infectious diseases. The goal is to ensure the authenticity of health data, support individuals to rejoin the workforce quickly. If you just didn't have your mouth hit the floor, I don't know what would. Absolutely is in that genome sequencing sharing right there. It's also in you're going to have your papers to work. You're going to have your green light on your red phone, whatever the hell it is going to be they're going to put on you. The authenticity of health data, all going through the Homeland Security. It's nothing more than what I've telling you has been coming on. It's the silent weapons for quiet wars. Go ahead, keep your phones, keep your devices. They're going to be handing them to you. They're going to be handing them to you. And you're going to be put into this health ID now. You don't think it's real ID? No, it's going to be health ID. Blockchain-based. You don't think your currency is going to be tied to all this? You good citizen or not, you're going to be seeing it, folks. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Don't make the foundational argument that COVID and something with a disease without a cause can't be something, and there's a fraud, waste, and abuse of money going toward it, to at least that, notwithstanding the rights it violates, that it isn't a demonstrable exigence enough to wield this kind of power to do the kinds of things it is. You keep quiet on that point, and you watch how they bring this in. Coronavirus survivors banned from joining U.S. military. I didn't even know how to stop laughing on this one in my mind. It's serious as a heart attack, but coronavirus survivors banned from joining U.S. military. I think all you peaceniks, all you people that are anti-war and strenuously I'm surprised you didn't hooray this one. This would mean that about everybody, 80% of the tests are wrong anyway, about everybody can't go fight. I don't know. This must be the definition of military intelligence, but in this cryptogon story, citing Military Times. In other news, he posts, Tanzania, a papaya, a quail, and a goat test positive for COVID-19, according to the president. And so I don't need to, again, I'm not going to, you can read this stuff if you want. I told you what that test does. My concern now was for the papaya. I thought they had done genetically engineered papaya so that they would survive. Or that's testing that the genetically engineered papaya exists because of genetic modification, because of diseases that it gets. It's actually telling you its immune system is functioning. So in one regard, I'm scared for the papaya because it's got an immune system response. On the other hand, maybe it's genetic engineering. It's working to cause it to say it's fighting off an assailant affecting it. So in Tanzania, I wonder how close to Nigeria that is. A papaya, a quail, and a goat test positive for COVID-19. Can't be too encouraging that the government's going to use that test. What test is it, folks? The government says no test. Military intelligence should have said there is no test. But they're going to, the test that says that you're a coronavirus survivor is going to ban you from joining the military. I'm almost saying hooray on that. I'm wondering who they're going to get to fight eventually. So, Cryptogon also gives you the story on the papaya and quail and goat test positive. You can read about that. The other consequence going on is on your food. I'm going to move into that real quick. Mountain of spuds discarded by Idaho farmer saved in potato rescue. And just pointing out that locally you have farmers that are in distress for whatever reason, even contrived, that I think this might have been in Boise, Idaho, when they had the call that a farmer was dumping big taters, big nice choice taters. A crew of people showed up and they ended up where they stayed, where it was stated there was no market for the taters. A crew of people showed up with a bunch of trucks, picked it up, and delivered it around the area and was disposed of a bunch of taters that they were said there was no place to go. Is, I thought, something you need to know. You're not helpless. Don't let them destroy the food if you hear it being destroyed. Help a farmer out. Maybe even get together. Maybe the guy needs some money. But if he's dumping it, he may have got subsidies. So watch that little trick. The point is you aren't helpless. If you hear about food being dumped, you can go inquire whether or not they're going to dump food. Maybe you can be ahead of the curve and you can be helping other people, helping with other people to get the food you need that's going to be wasted. Here's the problem that I've been seeing and came up. President Trump readies bailout for nation's food supplier. Just on the title, folks, the money to a food supplier, that could have been the potato farmer. He's going to dump his stuff. He's going to throw it away. Someone heard about it, went and made good use of it. Waste not, want not. The president wants to go ahead. This is the United States President Trump readies bailout for nation's food suppliers. Will not give you food, folks. Remember that he bails out the cost of the loss. Will not provide the food you need to eat. And if you think, why don't you just go right up and become vegetarian and eat that money first, because that's about all you're going to be able to get out of it. If you think that the president paying off and the food suppliers is going to help you one little bit, that's really not an answer. Okay, so the other question, the consequence of all these things going on, eerie emptiness as ER's worries doctor, where are the heart attacks and strokes? This is something I've been telling you. When you misdiagnose a condition, emergency condition, what happened to all the regular people that were needing help? I've done the reports on this. Now doctors are coming out in New York. A substantial number of these people are dying in their homes, and cases are recorded as COVID-19 deaths. You can't die from flu symptoms, folks, if you get the title of that first sentence. This is what you have as your power. This is murder. This is premeditated. Okay, we have problems in this country that are precipitating out. We have a postal worker that was shot by a mail carrier because somebody didn't get their stimulus check. Complete insanity starts to precipitate out. That and those lists of harms can be listed where you show that it wasn't assessed correctly, and the missed assessment by the government of an actual emergency is causing these types of harms. It's how you essentially close any letter you would write or take any action or assert any right you would have to exercise and enjoin the imposition of the restraint against your actions. All of these things you're being stopped to go do as well. You can either agree to it or you can have all the time in the world in your quarantine and step up, write some letters, and start to get active as I've been suggesting you can. Grimner, thank you for what you do at reallibertymedia.com. And I noticed today the FN network is now shut down. I think you're supposed to go to realliberty.org now if you're not. But anyway, all the simulcasters, thank you. Jules at UCY TV, thank you for you keeping up on our broadcast here. And anybody else that's promoting and liking and sharing and all that, I really do appreciate it. BitChute to Minds, thank you for being there for that. And I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.